The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Can you hear me?
Clinical muscle starts. The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle and Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. VJ Puri. Along with me, as always, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm good.
It's a lovely early morning here. We like to do things real early. And what's been going on that side of the country over there?
Oh man, nothing. Same old, you know, just football, work, school, kids, training, all that good stuff.
So what's this I hear about your boys' team going like 5-1 so far?
Oh yeah, man. Listen, I'm super proud of them. The kids that came back from my team who suffered that horrendous season last year.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of set up the way I thought it would. After I couldn't step down, I couldn't step down. I had to step down. The new coach took over, and he had some returners. And the kids that are the returners from my team were the kids that I sort of picked, thinking that in year two we would be good. And if we just had a couple more playmakers, which is what I was hoping to do this year, and that's what he did. He got some good younger kids who are playing above their head, sort of their age, they're just good athletes. And,
right.
And, they're just kicking butt, but they got a big game this weekend against another, a 5-1 team who we beat, a couple Saturdays ago. So they're like, their whole season has been focused on getting back to playing us again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it. Good. Good deal.
Yeah. So it's fun. Stevie's doing good, man. He's playing crazy good, man. Really. Yeah, better than when I was his coach, which is kind of bittersweet, to be honest.
Hey, he probably just feels like the pressure's off, so he's performing better, you know?
Yeah, but I started to see the step last year in his age. I'd say halfway through the season last year, he on defense especially, he started to get it. I guess that's the best I could say.
I mean,
you start, the light bulb came on, what exactly am I supposed to be doing here?
Once you know what your duties are, man, it becomes a pretty fun game.
Little kids, what they do on defense, especially if you're a defensive lineman, this is just my observation from my years, coaching and having a kid that's playing, is they don't get the point that when you're on the defensive line, your job is not to block the offensive line. You don't stand there and dance with them. They get locked into the kid in front of them as opposed to getting their eyes in the backfield, finding the ball and just getting off the block and going to get it.
Right.
And I mean, all the kids, you'll see them, they'll be there pushing back and forth on the line, and you're like, the kid on the defense, don't do that. If you can have him not touch you and just run right around him, that's what you want to do and find the ball. And for years, that's the kind of stuff my son will do on defense. And he started to get it when I, for really lack of, because out of necessity last year, I moved it. He always played inside, like because of his size, defensive tackle sort of thing. And, he never got a lot of pressure up the middle. He was never getting through a lot. He would sort of do the dance thing with the kids. And I would tell him, look, don't dance with that. And I don't think his age, he just didn't understand but now his age. And I mean, he's constantly watching football videos. He's constantly studying. That's his whole thing. Like that's all he does in sports now. So I moved him to the outside last year, and I think playing on the end, like defensive end, you get a good visual of the backfield, and you only are playing half the field, right?
Yeah.
You're playing that side. So he finally started to realize, I'm supposed to go in there and just find the guy with the ball and get him. So he started you know, getting it sort of. So this year, his new coach moved him back to defensive tackle. And in the beginning of the season, he told me, "Dad, I'm just not good in there." And that, but that, it doesn't matter now. Now he's blowing shit up. Like, you know, he's doing really good, man. So
yeah, good.
I think it's an age thing. They hit a certain, I mean, he's 12. They hit a certain level of, you know, I don't know, just maturity, I guess. They understand it if they play long enough.
I think it's just understanding the game, man. When I started playing football, I didn't understand jack shit. All I knew was that you get to go hit people. I was like, fuck, I'm in. And I remember I was like in ninth grade or something. And like we had like a junior league. It was basically just ninth and 10th grade. That was your, you know, that was your league, you know, among the other schools in the district in the ninth and 10th grade. And I remember that the first season I ever played with our junior high school, we not only did we not ever win a game, but we never even scored a touchdown.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh yeah, man. Talk about like a worst nightmare of like an introduction to a game. I'm glad I stuck with it. That was it turned out to be pretty fucking fun, you know?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. My son, he went through 2 years of losing, you know.
Yeah,
and
it's hard. It is hard. It makes you not want to come back. Like, why want to come back?
And that's the thing, though. He never said, "I hate this," you know, because of losing. So I like that. I always thought that was special because in my mind, he just likes to play, you know, and he understands someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. And then I say, one day when you're on a winning team, you're going to appreciate it that much more, yeah, you know, like, because losing's rough, man. You know, if you, especially when you go 0-10.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got there. It was tough keeping them kids positive, but we did. You saw the BNR vid. You saw
our
bodybuilding.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was awesome. That was fucking cool.
with the t-shirts.
That was great. Yeah.
Love my t-shirt. That was great. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you, man. Losing builds a lot of character. A lot of these kids, they really need to learn what it's like to lose a bunch. You know what I mean? Like these kids today, man, they need it bad. They need sports more than ever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
especially football, man, because it's discipline. It's absolute teamwork. There's definitely no one great star that can't be, you know. And
yep.
It teaches you discipline, teaches you order, you know, teaches you the good stuff, man, that these kids just don't get anymore because they're always on their fucking phones and listen to fucking podcasts and shit.
And freaking they leave that. Yeah, they're always social media, Snapchat.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
always
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But another cool thing, I think I sent you or showed you the video our league is doing, which I think is awesome. They didn't do this last year, they just started doing it. They're doing like for each winning team, like a post game press conference.
Did I
send you that video?
Yeah, it was very cool. That's very cool.
I think that's awesome. It's funny because, I like it because, you know, you're playing football, but in a sense, doing that in a sense is also giving them a little education. You know, like public speaking is tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. I think it's a phenomenal idea.
So you're helping, you know, you don't, maybe it was indirect that they weren't thinking about it, but the way I always think about it is, you know, education first, you know. So
sure.
I'm thinking this is an opportunity. They're doing these little conferences and they're literally throwing questions at these kids. You saw it and making them think you know, tell us about, you know, the play that won the game. And I guess if they get a kid who wasn't paying attention, he's not going to know. But I mean, I just think that's a good thing to translate even into school because, man, I think public speaking is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah. Unless you're like wired to do it, you know.
I always hated it.
Yeah, people. I didn't mind it, but I don't know. I'm kind of like a little bit like artsy in like I know how to perform if I have to. You know what I mean? So it just comes a little more naturally. I don't enjoy doing it, but I can do it. You know what I mean? Right. Like it doesn't bother me to do it.
See, I was always the opposite. I guess outwardly I appeared that I was doing pretty good, but I was always nervous on the inside.
Like, you're messing on the inside.
Like taking deep breath nervous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hated that. I hated getting up in front of the class and all that shit. That's the worst.
Yeah, I know. I don't think anyone actually enjoys it, but there's people that just handle it better than others, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's funny. It's cute, too. They have them all the different levels, and to hear the kids talk, and some of the kids, they're just sitting there with blank stares on their face. And, you know, the person asking the questions trying to kind of get them to say something, you know, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So what's going on over there with the pack and everything?
Oh, my God. Dude, it's been a nightmare over here with my fucking – with Phineas. I swear to God, since his birth, he's had nothing but, like, ailments. one after the next, and now it's an exploded tail. The end of his tail is fucking exploded.
Yeah.
And that the sutures are healing up, but all the bandages, sores, and all that shit, he's got this oozy end of a tail, and it's a nightmare to try to get under control because he just whips it constantly. And his tail, he's a 150-pound dog, and he's got, like, no hair on his tail, you know, so it's essentially a whip. So
it's like a dinosaur tail.
It's exactly what it is, yeah. So he's, like, whipping the walls, spraying blood all over the place. I'm trying to keep it from oozing. I'm watching it, like, because if he gets to it, you know what I mean? If he gets to that, to the all the bandage sores, he just makes them so much worse. And they get infected. They start to stink. Oh my God, dude, it's been a nightmare with him. But luckily, I started vaping, so I've been able to. So everything I'm taking with a grain of salt. I'm like, all right, motherfucker's tail's bleeding again, huh? All right, we'll take care of this, no problem.
Oh yeah. God, yeah. Well, what did they crop his tail because of this thing, or did they just trim off?
There was this little. I guess it wasn't that little, but it started off pretty little tiny bulb on the end of his tail. So it was like picturing the dog's tail coming to an end, like any normal dog, and then and then underneath. There's a little neck and then a bulb, and that every time he hit the end of his tail, that bulb would break that neck. You know what I mean? That neck would break.
Was it like a normal part of his tail? That was
No. It was
like hemangioma or some
shit. It's just a weird growth and an abnormal growth. Okay. Yeah.
It was super like vascular. I guess.
Oh my God. Amazing blood supply. I never would have guessed it. Yeah. So yeah. Oh yeah. And yeah, of course he's 150 pounds. So they got to put him under for surgery. Yeah, and they can't do anything local with something like that, you know? So I was freaking out that entire day because I just wasn't mentally prepared. So, but that day I did start vaping. So I was good the rest of the day too. So,
Are you vaping nicotine or are you vaping No.
It's straight cannabis. I'm amazed by this stuff, man. Like I was like, I don't stink anymore. Like I can do it. I can do it in my house.
Like skunk walking around.
No, people have no idea. It's like, you know, it's like, if I would smoke it, I'd be outside. I'd be paranoid as shit. I'd be like, oh my God, people are looking at me. I know that they know. They know about me and my terrible habit.
You got me fucking sweating. That's a good one. I wasn't sure if you meant like vaping from the vape shop or vaping weed.
Vaping weed, man. This is great. Look, I'll do it right now, actually. I'll do it.
Oh my God. This show's about to derail. Oh, well, you got your legal card, so we're all good. We can talk about that. You are legal with that.
Yes, yeah. I'm actually, it's crazy. I'm blowing it out of my mouth right now. And it looks like smoke, but it's not smoke.
It's water vapor. Is it? Oh my God.
It's the most amazing contraption I've ever seen. Oh my God.
Clinical took a nosedive.
Oh no! This is hey,
I'm fucking sweating over here, dude. You got me cracking up.
This is medically necessary. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
that
I know
myself.
That. Yeah, for chronic pain.
Chronic stress. It's like I tell you what, if I didn't use this stuff, man, I would have murdered somebody by now, and it would have been one of my tenants, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh yes, yeah. I know you go. You have me intrigued about investing and becoming a slumlord, and then after I hear some of the shit you go through, I'm like, nah, I'll just be poor.
It's such a catch-22. It really is. And eventually, if I live long enough, you know, I won't have the same kind of problems, you know, because you know, when you invest in real estate, you know, it's got a longevity issue. Within 25, 30 years, as long as you just fucking stay that long and things go well enough and you keep paying mortgage, at the end of that period, that is owned property. You know what I mean? And there's no mortgages on the place. That is, you're setting yourself up for a beautiful retirement if you live long enough.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they're definitely the headache in the long run is worth it.
Yeah. But let me tell you, man, the headache is a lot. And you got to be able to put up with a lot of shit. And luckily, there is medicinal marijuana for people like me. So this is beautiful stuff, you know?
Listen, I got a crazy story to share, but I think I may have run this by you already. And this is crazy. So it has to do with potential, like, allergies to food. I've heard of people developing food allergies
Yeah.
From eating, you know, sort of you know, even eating the same sort of not a variable, a very good, you know, like sort of the same food every day. Let's just put it that way. And that's kind of what we do, right? I mean, except for like 3 months a year when I go down the beach and become a fucking drunk hillbilly. Like, other than that, I mean, my food is pretty much the same every day, right? I mean, my breakfast for 10 years has literally been pretty much the same, give or take a couple days a week, right? I mean, egg whites and oatmeal, right? Maybe here and there I'll do Ezekiel bread. You know, I mean, so long story short is, I'm going to share this, it's probably TMI, but I think it's important because it proved to me that there's a potential. I mean, this is real. I mean, it happened, and I didn't think it would happen, but dude, this is crazy. About 3 weeks ago, and it was right after we recorded the first BNR, which would have been my first problem. Like, that was my mistake right there.
Uh-oh.
I started having some stomach cramps that morning, right? Didn't think anything of it. So, make a long story short, is that next day I had the same thing. I'm like, fucking, it was just kind of early in the morning, and it would go away. I didn't put anything to it, right? So, I remember when I was little, and I don't have a colon, right? So I've had some bowel history. Like, I've always had a fucked up stomach, right? I mean, excuse me, messed up stomach.
I gotta cut with the language.
I actually have patients that listen to this now, but God damn it, I can't help. I get excited.
Hey, that's right.
So long story short is, that Saturday morning after our first time when I was on BNR for the first, you know, I ate breakfast and had the worst stomach cramps. Well, maybe not the worst because I did lose my colon, but some of the worst upset stomach
in a long time, you know,
in a long time. Yeah. And immediately was on the toilet, just water.
Yikes.
And that continued basically for a couple of weeks, like, you know, for a while. And I actually started eliminating stuff, you know, so I mentioned on the second BNR that I started a new pre-workout and I didn't want to comment on it yet. And that's one of the reasons, because I was thinking this shit might be giving me this.
Oh, damn. Okay. Now it makes more sense. Sure. Yeah.
I said I wanted to give it a little bit more of a chance. And that's because I was thinking, fuck, this stuff is terrible. I didn't want to call out a company and be wrong. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right, yeah.
Like when you did with the toilet horse.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes. Right. That I was absolutely right. So I could call the fuck out of that company for sure.
Right, exactly. So long story short is, I got rid of that $50, threw it out, total, full fucking container. Continued.
Oh, right, damn.
Early in the morning. Then I'm thinking, fuck, is this the Amantium Aminos doing it? But I was already taking them and didn't have a problem. So, but I stopped using that too. Then I stopped all my, you know, sort of other supplements, anything else, you know, taken by mouth. And it continued, but it's only in the morning. Long story short is, I would have a day where it was good, a day where it was okay, but it was just only in the morning continued. Explosive diarrhea, dude. Long story short, this past Saturday, we had Stevie's football game, and it was early, 10 o'clock game. And we haven't had one like that this year. We've been doing 12 and 3 o'clock games. I went up, got up, went to the gym, you know, was running short on time. So I'm like, I'll just eat at the field. So I brought a shake and oatmeal to the field with me.
Right.
And ate my shake and oatmeal, and didn't even dawn on me till like the midnight that, holy shit, I had completely normal bowel movements today.
Right.
Like everything was normal. What did I do different? Huh. Couldn't put it together. Long story short, next morning, Sunday, right? Get up, have my normal breakfast, which is 460 grams of egg whites, which is 10 servings of a liquid. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
And have a cup of oatmeal with some blueberries. And the minute I finished the egg whites, my stomach was in knots.
Crazy.
It was on the toilet, just exploding.
Oh, man.
Like, and it dawned on me, holy shit, I think I developed a sensitivity or a allergy to eggs.
Yep.
Or egg whites from eating them literally for 10 years every day. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, except for cheating, going out to breakfast here and there and the summer times and whatever, having a shake here and there. So I said, I got it right there. I said, holy shit. It's freaking egg white. There's no way. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, those egg whites, they weren't bad though, were they?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, they say they're good. I mean, I bought them brand new. I mean, you know, okay. I don't think so. But long story short is, so this week at work, I told Chrissy, I said, dude, this is crazy, but I think it's the egg whites.
Yeah.
So I worked Monday and Tuesday, 12 hours, had a shake and oatmeal for breakfast, and my stomach has been flat no diarrhea, no gas, completely normal. So now I'm wondering if I can't eat eggs anymore, and I'm kind of got a little PTSD to try.
PTSD.
You know, the other compounding factor is, remember I said on our last show that I had a little bit of a cold. Remember I had allergies or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that kind of got worse.
Right? Fucking those eggs. That's what it is. Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
That's an allergic reaction. Absolutely. And that can absolutely happen, man. I've seen it. I've seen it manifest in different ways, too. I've seen it just manifest in like extreme, not necessarily diarrhea, but extreme bloating. Like I'm talking like 9 months pregnant extreme.
Well, you got to remember, I don't have a colon, right? So
there you go.
Anything that's going to screw with my digestion, it's going to go right through me in seconds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If my body don't want it, there's no holding it. It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the most normal GI tract as it is, right? So then I start thinking, well, there is another possibility, but it seemed a little long for that. So just for everybody, we are not doing a health segment this week, but here's your health segment. Adenovirus is a common virus that causes upper respiratory. So if you ever have sniffles, cough, runny nose, watery eyes, coughing up mucus, a little mm-hmm. bit of a fever, and you also have diarrhea and nausea, you probably have adenovirus.
Mm. There you go. So
that's one of the common viruses that cause upper respiratory infection symptoms and gastrointestinal symptoms. It can cause that.
Which people often mistake for just the flu.
Right. And so I'm thinking, did I have that? So long story short is, so I haven't ate egg whites this morning. I had a shake. My stomach's flat. It's no gas. I feel great. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't eat eggs. So I don't know if I should try again.
You just don't do it for a while. You're going to have to just kind of introduce it real slow where the eggs isn't the main source of protein, but rather a portion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe do a small amount with some like chicken in it or something.
Yeah, eat 8 ounces of steak and like two egg whites. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm thinking of starting some sort of when I do it. I think I'm going to wait a month. Maybe I was just – I don't know. I got to try again. No, I'm just so damn – because if it happens again, that's fucking crazy. I guess I'm just going to be – eat pancakes from IHOP for breakfast every day. And
hey, there's eggs in IHOP, you know, in pancakes. There's eggs.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick up I'm going to do some research and try to find like what one of the better – because honestly, I've taken them here and there, but I don't do digestive enzymes all the time. But I think I want to find – if anyone has a good suggestion on like a really good brand digestive enzyme, hit me up.
You got one right here, man.
What do you want? What do you want?
I use Life Extension super enzymes, super digestive enzymes. They're a beautiful product, man. I've talked about them a couple of times now on BNR and how impressed I am with them and my ability that – they work, man. They work beautifully. They do. Yeah.
Can you taste them at all?
No. I mean, if you get them caught in your throat and then you like burp or cough and then the powder comes out, you know what I mean? Then you can taste it, but otherwise, no, you can't taste it. No.
I think what I'm gonna do is stick with shakes and for about a month, and I'm gonna grab. I'll try some of them. So it's a Life Extension. I got you.
Yeah, Life Extension.
I've taken a couple, and I don't know. I can taste them. They're like fucking. Oh, I'm like, is this maybe they're not good ones or something? But anyway, So I don't do that a lot. Maybe I always talked about this on the show. I said I probably should be the one who takes care of my gut health more than anybody. And I can't lie. I don't do it. I don't do a great job at that. But
got to do it.
Isn't that fucking crazy, though?
You got to do it. Honestly, that's like 50% of bodybuilding, man. It's like your gut health. You know, if you're not, especially
when you don't have half a colon. You
know
what I mean?
Jeez. Now you're at a complete disadvantage, you know? So.
Yeah, so I'm finally feeling – I feel better, so I'm glad I got it figured out. But now I'm like, God damn, I really do like eggs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yes, but, yeah, I don't love eggs, man. I think I just kind of burnt out on them. And
love them, dude.
I like them. I like them at like if I go to like a greasy diner or something for breakfast. But like
– Well, what are we going to do if we go to
shit. You're right. You better build up a tolerance before we hit Waffle House, man.
Right. What do we get? We're gonna have our Arnold date this year. And what am I gonna do about it? I'm gonna have to eat like all the food you ate last year, not just my little pussy ass.
Hell yeah.
Chocolate chip pancakes.
Yeah, yeah. See, and but that was it was chocolate chip waffles. Oh my god,
waffles. Yeah. But listen, I remember I told you I still haven't been back because our Waffle House is like nasty.
You can like, I mean, you can like see your Waffle House from the top floor of your house. You're like, oh,
I literally drive past it every day.
That's so funny. Lucky you, man. I'd be hit. It's better off that there isn't one close. The closest one to me is like, I think like 50 minutes away. So I don't even mess with it. But yeah, there's no Waffle Houses in Michigan, surprisingly. Yeah, we gotta go. I gotta go to Ohio.
Yeah.
Gotta go down to Toledo from here.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, it is. It's strange. But
So anyway, sorry. So guys, I am a firm believer in maybe developed food allergy. I wasn't sure if you could do that. I hear people talk about it, but I think it happened to me. So
yeah,
I'll see what happens.
You see it. You can see it. You can get mild like allergens like mucusy, like coughing or sneezing or that sort of thing. That can happen. It could be as light as that, or it could be as light as constantly burping it up. You know, burping up the eggs constantly.
Well, the other thing I was having a lot of
just indigestion with the eggs. You know,
yeah, and gas and everything. Yeah. I never put it together.
So those are surefire signals, red flags for people. If they're having those type of symptoms with any one food they're eating, kind of take a. Almost like take a log, you'll have to take a log of what all you're eating and start eliminating stuff one at a time to get your variables out. But if you're experiencing symptoms like that or what Doc has, there's a good chance two chances. You either have a severe allergy to the food or you have food poisoning. Those are the two things.
When you have medical knowledge or you've let's just say medical experience, because a lot of I hate to say I have medical knowledge, but whatever. I've seen so much shit in my life, no pun intended, and I'm around so much shit, then I started to think, did I contract C. diff? Did someone in the have I diagnosed anybody recently with salmonella? I start thinking all this crazy stuff, but it was only in the morning. And by the time sometimes after my then like with my chicken meals and my regular the afternoon. By nighttime, I'd have a normal shit, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the? That's what was making me think it was my pre-workout or – because that's the things I do in the morning. I get up. I do my cardio. I take a fat burner, whatever I do, things I was taking, my aminos, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, boom. I'm like, oh, shit, it's something I'm taking. That's the first thing I thought. Yeah, it's crazy anyway. I'm sure everybody's getting bored of hearing about my asshole, but
that's all right. Hey, that's an important I say it all the time, man. People can learn a lot from their poo. They can learn a lot about their body, a lot about their digestion from their poo. There's a lot that you can learn from that.
I was going to go over poo colors. You just made me think about that.
What
poo should look like.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, I was using a product and I thought it was giving me, diarrhea. And it turns out that it's not the product at all. We have this I go to this place in Dearborn, which is like it's all Chaldean people, Middle Eastern people, That's all it is. And all they have is like shawarma shop after shawarma shop after shawarma shop. And they've got the greatest Lebanese food on earth is right here in Dearborn, I promise you.
What is Lebanese food? Just give me like an example. What is close to?
It's like Greek food kind of.
I got close, you.
Like shawarmas, gyros.
I got you.
Hummus, oh man, so good.
Spanakopita.
I don't know what that is. That sounds not.
That's like a Greek Danish or something.
Is it?
Dude, it's so sweet, it'll make your teeth like ring. Yeah, if you know what I mean. Have you ever?
I do. I don't like that at all. I don't know how people can eat shit like that.
I think that's what that is, if I can remember right.
Yeah, but this meat market, I always go there. I always get their chicken tawouk, and I just have them cook it for me. I think they must have undercooked some of their chicken, man.
Ugh.
Yeah, and that's what was giving me the run. So the product is fine. I was using Beverly International's mask maker. I still am. Nothing wrong with it. Digestion is perfect. Passes the gold standard Veg gut test, no problem. But it turns out it was undercooked chicken, and I threw all of it away, which was like
I think you said that on B&R. Yeah. You weren't sure if you were having a gut problem.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but now I am, 100% sure. Terrible, man. That's like $40 worth of chicken tawouk, man. Fucking blows.
Oh, yeah. God, that does suck. I hate throwing fucking shit away. I got one.
Protein is the worst, It's like makes you feel like utter shit that you have to throw it away.
Yep, and it's not cheap.
Yeah, if it was rice or something, I'd be like, ah, in the garbage it goes.
I throw away rice every day because I end up leaving it in the rice cooker overnight. And I'm like, it's probably still good, but I'll just make more, you know.
So. Anyway. What do you say we man, we've got a backload of questions here, and we are going to attack the shit out of them right now. We only have so much allotment of time on Clinical Muscle, and some of the questions get really wordy, really long, and honestly, like, those questions, we can turn them into case studies. We could go super in-depth and spend an entire episode on some of those questions, you know. I don't know what the solution is, but because we always say, you know, the more information you can give us, the better, you know. but then people put so much information that it's like, I don't know what to read, what not to read, that sort of thing, you know. But we do have a lot of questions, and we're going to attack the ones from the forums first as they come in. And so that we can get those ones taken care of too, and then we'll kind of jump back to the email questions probably the next show. What do you say about that?
That sounds good. And, you know, we only give C grades, so you know we can just knock them out.
Yeah, I'll just make something up for the first one.
Actually, yeah. Like every time I read a new question, you're getting like higher. We're scoring higher. 1.5. Now we're like 1.69.
I see that. That's all right. Hey, that's fine. That's great. So if you have any questions, and you know what, even if you do have, look, the forums are really anonymous, so you don't have to, it's super easy to sign up, you know, you don't have to be afraid of your identity, just make up a name or something, no one's going to know anything about you, pretty much. So, you know, if for people that are thinking they want to email, try the forums first, just give it a shot. You know, if you absolutely hate it, and I don't think you will, if you absolutely hate it, then go ahead and use clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. Otherwise, forum.advicesradio.com. Go to bodybuilding discussion, and then you'll see a sticky up top. Usually we're up like top two, Doc. You know, we're doing all right with Clinical Muscle. People are listening. They're liking the show. I like that. That's cool. So just click on that link, and there's a whole host of pages where you can kind of post your questions. So we'll direct you people there first. Doc, let's get to the first question here. From the forums, is there any benefit for a bodybuilder to take a daily dose of aspirin? If aspirin supposedly thins the blood, would this help the blood viscosity issues caused by higher levels of hemoglobin and hematocrit? Will it have any effect on blood pressure? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Doc, what do you think?
So real quick, before I answer this question, I'm going to say that, you know, aspirin as a primary sort of prevention, in people less than 50, there's a bunch of guidelines, but I'm just going to make it easy. In people less than 50, at this, without underlying coronary artery disease, stroke history, blah blah blah, it's really not sort of recommended. That's the guidelines, but I'm going to give my opinion and what I think is good. And the reason why it's not recommended is because they found that, you know, sort of the risk outweighs the benefit when it comes to like GI bleeding and stuff like that for long-term aspirin use. So long story short is, his question is, would there be any benefit of a bodybuilder? The answer to the question, I believe, is yes. I mean, if your hemoglobin's in a normal range and, you know, that sort of thing, and you have normal platelet count and all that good stuff, probably, and you're 30 or 25, I mean, is it going to hurt you? Probably not. But, you know, if you're going to end up taking aspirin a day for the next 50 years, you know, you could increase your risk of gastrointestinal bleeding, ulcers and stuff like that, especially if you use on top of that ibuprofen for pain or whatever. I'm just throwing that out there. But if you're a guy who's over 40, I'd say, and you're taking anabolics and maybe your hemoglobin's at the top, I know bodybuilders love hematocrit. So your hematocrit's maybe at the top level of normal, should be given blood. But if you're not, then a baby aspirin a day is probably a good cardiac thing. And yes, it will thin the blood and it may help prevent you from having, God forbid, a clot, stroke or heart attack or something like that. And so, yeah, I think there is some benefit to a baby aspirin a day. In fact, I still think everyone over maybe 40, 45, if you don't have an underlying history of bleeding or anything like that, or ulcers or anything, I think it's a good thing. And there's even some things potentially for colon cancer sort of prevention. But so, yes, I think there is a benefit. And yes, it can help thin the blood because it has a I wouldn't say thin the blood. Let's clear that up. It's not going to change your hematocrit hemoglobin counts at all. What it does is it has an effect on platelets, which makes them less sticky. Right. And right. that's how we get sort of heart attacks. Right. We have a plaque buildup. That develops maybe in some inflammation and a crack in it, and we get some platelet plugging, and boom, it fills up, clogs the artery up, blood can't get through, and we have an MI. So you keep your blood thinner, your platelets, I don't want to say thinner, but your platelets a little less sticky, the blood flows a little better. Yes, I think there is a benefit. Now, will it have any effect on blood pressure? No, it doesn't. It doesn't affect blood pressure. I don't see a reason to think it would. No. What will affect blood pressure, though, is keeping your weight down, doing cardio, not using a gram of tren a week.
yeah, right.
Things like that. So that's my thought on that question. What do how do you feel about that?
I don't know, man. Would you say that all fatties should probably be on a low dose of aspirin?
I mean, anyone with any kind of cardiac risk factor, I agree.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, and I think most people, if you read the guidelines, it's really under 50, not, but if you have a bunch of risk factors, yes. I mean, you're at high risk for heart attack. So, quote, fatties, I think wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, Walmart fatties for sure need to at least do something about something, you know?
Oh, speaking of that, I read this week somewhere, can't quote where I read it from because, you know, I don't write down what I read, but I glance, right? I saw where there was a study an eye-opening. America's getting fatter. There's an increase in obesity, and they did broke out numbers about it. I'm thinking, you don't need a study to do that.
Just look out your fucking window.
Just go to the fucking store.
Yeah, go to Walmart for a minute.
When you see an in shape person, why do they stand out? Because no one else is.
Exactly.
Anyway, it was a study. Obesity is increasing in our country. If you couldn't tell that by your local freaking Walmart,
it's out of control, man. Out of control. Let's take the next question here. Thanks for an awesome show, VJ and Steve. Do you believe that there is such a thing as an anabolic window, meaning a period of time after training when the body is especially receptive to carbs and protein, and when taking the carbs will not raise insulin significantly? Is there such a thing as, if you think there is such a thing, how long is that window? What makes that window close? Why would the body not be as receptive and why would one get a larger insulin response by waiting longer to eat post training? So there's a whole amalgamations of questions there. But I would say, Doc, do you mind if I attack this one here first?
No, you know what? You may have better thoughts about this than I, but I have my thoughts about it. But yes, go. Feel free.
Yes.
When you want to go, you going first sometimes is great. Gives me time to think.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's why I always make you go first. So I seem smarter. I'm like, I can gather my thoughts. I'm like, I'm going to say something he's never even thought of.
If I'm stumped, I might just be like,
Yeah, that's okay. We can edit that shit out. We can just throw something in there, make it up, you know?
Yeah.
But yes and no. Okay, anabolic window. This is like, you know, okay, the whole idea was bastardized by goddamn muscle tech in the 90s, okay? They stumbled upon something, but they exploited the shit out of it, you know? And they made it into a way bigger deal than it is. Yes. Okay. Within that first few hours post-training, you're going to be obviously more insulin receptive. All right. Your body is going to be more receptive to the incoming carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Okay. But it's not like that window just shuts. Okay. If you train hard, you are producing this anabolic window for a good 24 to 36 hours, maybe more even, depending on training intensity, frequency of training, that sort of thing. So essentially, you're kind of always in this anabolic window as long as you are training consistently every day or every other day, eating correctly, you know what I mean? And, you know, keeping that window open. That's essentially how you keep the window open, is you keep training And obviously you just keep eating. But yeah, I would say that there is a period of time when, you know, and it's not so much that insulin's not going to raise. Insulin raises regardless of whatever. It just so happens that those muscle cells that were trained are so receptive that they're kind of focusing, they're being a target, essentially, a target for insulin to kind of shoot for. So insulin shoots in, attaches, you know, it's shuttling in proteins and carbohydrates and things. Very, very efficiently within the first few hours of training, but that doesn't really stop. All right. It's like, it's not like there's a peak and a plateau, you know, it's like a peak and a slight letdown, and then it cuts slowly, slowly coming down, but everything remains elevated. You know what I'm saying, Doc? Like,
yeah.
Like your entire metabolic system remains elevated for a good 24, 30, 36 hours. So, nutrition is key, but not necessarily only around your training time. You know what I mean?
Yep. My thought was sort of the same thing. I can't say if I know the exact number or if it's real or if it's not real, but really for me, it comes down to this: consistency. I mean, if you're eating a good pre-workout meal and you're having maybe an intra-workout shake, if you are, you're not, I don't see the rush in having to slam, you know, 50 grams of carbs and 50 grams of, I mean, unless you're doing bolus insulin and you're now hypoglycemic or you want to, you know, I don't see why you have to have it within like 30 minutes because you've been, like you said, you're eating every 2 hours on a 24 hour clock, every 3 hours maybe. And, you know, everything is sort of there. Now, yeah, of course, after you train, your muscles are getting more blood flow to them. They're, you know, more receptive a little bit. I don't know how long that lasts for. But I don't think it matters. I think if you're done training and you're hungry within an hour, you just, you know, either have a shake or eat a meal when you're hungry, when you get home. I honestly don't believe in that. I mean, I'm sure there's something to it, but I agree with you. Yes and no. But like if your nutrition's on point, it's not like that stuff just disappears.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Your protein that you ate an hour and a half before you trained isn't just gone.
No,
it's not,
right. Yeah,
it's not just evaporated out of your system.
I mean, people think that, oh, I had a cheat meal, I'm going to have a great workout today. No, if you had a cheat meal today, you're going to have a fucking great workout tomorrow. You know what I mean? This is how it works, man. Yes, it's an anabolic window, but that window, you just kind of keep that shit open. You know what I mean?
And like, this is one of them questions that I'm not physiologist. I'm not a kinesiology major. I didn't study nutrition. I'm a doctor. So for me, I mean, maybe my opinion's a little different. I look at things more broad scope. If you're eating every 2 hours, I don't see why you have to slam you. Oh my God! If I don't eat within 35 minutes, I'm going to lose all my gains.
No. You know what? You know who that does make sense to? That makes sense to your extreme ectomorphs. All right. I mean, those people can't get enough calories to begin with. You know, so that becomes a little more severe with someone like that. And you know, that window becomes a little bit more important. You know, just to avoid a little bit more catabolism, but it's still like, you know, a cumulative effect of what they've been eating for the last fucking week. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a consistency thing. And as long as the consistency is fine, it's really not necessarily a huge window you got to worry about. What about the food you ate 4 hours ago? You know what I mean? What do you think happened to that? Do you think it's just, you know, like you said, do you think that's gone? You know?
I mean, it didn't evaporate.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's not like so that's my point. If you eat an hour before you go to the gym or whatever, and a lot of people these days are taking carbs, BCAAs, proteins, you know,
exactly.
Pepto Pro and everything during their workout, do you think 30 minutes after you're done, that's all not doing anything?
Right.
I don't get it. I think if you. I mean, so my answer is yes and no. Your body obviously is hungry. It's ready to get some food after you train. But I don't think if you don't eat within whatever time the anabolic window is supposed to be, you're going to just like shrink.
Yeah. Think of it as a good 36 hour window. And you know, and that's not like, you know, that's not like me telling you that so that you can just be, you know, an asshole and just eat like shit for 36 hours straight. You know what I mean? that is just telling you that those all those enzymes have been stimulated and they are ready to accept for healing and repair. You know, and do it in small amounts, small boluses. You can't just do like one giant meal and expect that to work, you know. So consecutive, consistent meals. 36-hour window. Think of it like that. That's how it is. Not a fucking one-hour window.
Yeah, I have nothing to add.
Next question. Okay, this is a little bit more wordy, okay? But just bear with me. This is from the boards. Thank you for posting, by the way. Hello, docs. What is your opinion the quality control and potency of medications that are produced by compounding pharmacies as compared with medications that are mass-produced by pharmaceutical companies? For example, do you think that the testosterone cypionate coming out of a compounding pharmacy is the same quality and just as accurately dosed as the testosterone produced by Pfizer, Westward, that sort of thing? I ask because a lot of HRT clinics are partnered with compounding pharmacies and force patients to purchase medications through that pharmacy. On the whole, I'm sure there's some variation between the compounding pharmacies. Do you think that I should feel confident that I am consistently getting an accurately dosed and clean product from the compounding pharmacy? Do you have any insight if the raw products used, for example, testosterone cypionate powder, come from the same place before making their way to Pfizer versus a compounding pharmacy? And then he sends us a study of medications versus big pharma. What do you think? What do you think, Doc?
So I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not a pharmacist. So this is purely sort of opinion, speculation.
Yeah, mine's going to be all speculation here too.
And sort of common sense kind of stuff. So if you look at the two, I mean, when you're talking about companies like Pfizer, they're using, you know, sort of $1 million machines that are set up to, you know, be pinpoint precise. They're calibrated. You get my point, right?
Right.
Compounding pharmacy, you have a person who is measuring out this kind of stuff and they're making whatever the doctor prescribed there, you know, there. So, I mean, I would think you have more of a chance of a little bit of variability with a compounding pharmacy and even with generic medicines, to be honest with you, for a little bit of difference. But I mean, for the most part, as long as it's a good company, their pharmacists are well-trained. I mean, these guys mix medicines every day with antibiotic liquids. They do that every day. They're taught to do that. I think my short answer is, yeah, I think there is some kind of variability. And then his second part of the question, and the reason is because of human error. I mean, you have people doing that. Just like, I'm not a super big – listen, guys, everyone knows what I do, right? I mean, I work in urgent care. I'm not a super big fan of these rapid tests we do every day for strep throat, for, you know, urine pregnancy. Well, maybe not urine pregnancy, but urine infections and things like that. Because when I tell a MA or a nurse to go swab the patient's throat in three, I'm not in there seeing how they're swabbing it. They could be barely touching the area.
Right, and it's negative. Right.
So I'm not a big fan of that. And the reason is human error. I mean, it's very – so yes, I mean, I guess there's a bigger – for me, this comes down to human error. There would be a bigger potential at a compounding pharmacy to have a variability because of human error than there would based – you know, if you're talking about trillion-dollar companies who have super good equipment that's super well calibrated and controls and inspections and everything else. But he says, am I safe? I think, yes. I mean, I think most, for the most part, if you're going to these, you know, I can't remember some of the compounding pharmacies that are big around our country, but I do know there's some that work with these TRT companies that are pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're pretty quality control. The pharmacists know what they're doing. And I mean, you're probably fine.
They need to be pretty goddamn strict, I would think. I mean, the FDA.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's no doubt.
The penalties alone from the FDA or from whoever else is astronomical. And there's no reason for them to be skimping on any medication. It doesn't really help their – help them with profits or anything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, is he asking if he's safe? I think you're fine. I mean, you know, and, but The next question about the raw products, I can't lie. I have no idea. I'm not a pharmacist, but that would be a great question if we had a pharmacist around. I mean, I don't know anything about raw powders and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. That's. Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to say it. Yeah. I'm not a pharmacist. I don't know. And funny thing is, sometimes I'll prescribe a pill. Let's say even amoxicillin, and someone will say to me, "What's it look like?" And I'll be like, "I don't know what it looks like, considering there's a ton of different companies making it. And I'm not on any medicine. So I don't take medicines, so I'm not sure. So I definitely don't know what, how raw powders are bought, produced, made, stuff like that. I don't.
Yeah. It's interesting, man. I read this study just real quick. Just wanted to glance at the results and stuff that this member posted here as a comparative. And first of all, they're using the worst thing that they could possibly use, which is a cream or a gel base. I mean, every tube of cream or gel testosterone is going to be different if you test it out, even at the level of a Pfizer or whoever the fuck else,
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that's just the nature of it when you're dealing with a gel. Now, if you're talking more about an injectable or something, I can guarantee you that that's going to be a little bit better just because dispersion alone is going to be a lot closer to value per bottle or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just clicked on the link now and I just looked at the conclusion. And obviously, they're saying kind of what I said. There's going to be some variability, but yeah, when you look at it, they're doing cream versus a compounded cream versus androgel and test them. Yeah. Again, you're going to have human error, and these and when you put cream on, how do you really measure that?
You can't. It's impossible. I mean, you may go a day without actually putting on any testosterone, then the next day you may put on triple what you were supposed to put on. You know what I mean? So
it's kind of like what I've heard with research chemicals who people shouldn't be using unless they have a pet manatee.
Right.
I mean, if you're not shaking your bottle every day perfectly, or you even maybe draw from the top of the – think about when you even drink a pre-workout sometimes, or even your protein shake. You've mixed it up. You think you shaked it well. You start drinking it, and you look in the bottom, and there's still some powder left when it's empty. You're definitely going to have variability because of the mixing. And the creams, man, who knows,
Yeah, there's no way of telling. Cream gels, those things are garbage anyways. No one should be using that.
The human part. Yeah, when you involve I just clicked off our forum. Hold on. When you involve people in that, and it's not perfect. Of course you're gonna, but overall I think they're pretty good about it.
Yeah. I use a compounding pharmacy for my testosterone injections, for my Arimidex. Yeah, that all comes from a compounding pharmacy, and I can tell you.
Oh, you're breaking up on me.
Oh, it's can you hear me now? It's all right?
I got you.
What I was saying was I use a compounding pharmacy to get all my meds, testosterone. I don't use a gel, obviously. And actually, the Arimidex is actually injectable. It's within the testosterone preparation, so it's included. Let me tell you, blood work is always pretty damn good, and it always checks out really well. So I think it's not so much – the compounding pharmacy, it has more to do with what medication I think you're going to be using, and how.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing, what was I going to say about that? I had a thought and just went on my – okay, I get on to the next one, I guess.
All right.
If it comes back to me, I'll bring
– Yeah, just interject whenever. Yeah. All right. Next question here from the boards. Are there any side effects from using DMAA for an extended amount of time? I was told at a kid at a supplement store that using DMAA for an extended amount of time would cause adrenal fatigue and cause heart attacks, and that there wouldn't be any signs beforehand. I've been using Mesomorph for over a year now. I use it 3 to 4 times a week, and I've never had any side effects that I can tell. Mesomorph doesn't drop off in effectiveness over time like other high caffeine products do. Right. Yeah, I think that's one of the things with DMAA is that you don't get really, accustomed to it, like you would with caffeine. What do you know about DMAA, Doc?
I'm not an expert on it, I know what everyone else probably knows. Listen, it's a stimulant, any stimulant. He mentioned caffeine, any stimulant. Most of your issue is going to be acutely, right? I mean, it's going to be for a certain amount of time. Blood pressure raised, vasoconstriction, heart rate goes up. that sort of thing. But these are cute and temporary things, right? And I don't think there's – I could be wrong. I'm not a researcher, but I don't think there's been any long-term studies of DMAA use, let's say 10 years of consistent use, see what happens. So to be honest, I can't answer that. What I can answer is if you don't have – this is just my understanding. I don't believe it's any worse than taking a high dose of caffeine product for a workout. Your heart rate's going to go up a little bit. Your blood pressure's going to go up a little bit. If you don't have any underlying atrial fibrillation, coronary artery disease, heart palpitations – you know, heart arrhythmias in your family, all these sorts of things. And it sounds like he's using it responsibly, which is what I always am big on, like moderation. He's using it 3 or 4 times a week. I can't say he's going to have any worse problems than he would if he drank 350 milligrams of caffeine daily, you know, 3 to 4 times a week pre-workout. I don't think so. Acutely, obviously, we know there's been some issues with that. And I can't remember the number, but I think it's been reported, you know, like some deaths. But I'm sure it's less than like, I think it was in the 80s or hundreds from what I understand. And you're talking about probably, I don't even know how many people have taken Jacked 3D in their life.
Right.
When it was out, right?
Millions.
Yeah, right. So, I literally. Mean, yeah. So I can't answer the long-term thing because I don't know if there's been any studies about that, you know, but I do know that acutely it can cause your typical sympathetic issues. And if you have a problem with your heart, you know, you know, obviously you could have an issue. You could have palpitations. You could have, God forbid, a heart attack. But if you're healthy, you don't have any heart problems, I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now let me ask you this, because I am horrible. Is it legal? Is it illegal? Is it like in a window? Because
it's in a window. Yeah, it's absolutely in a window. Yeah.
I think like one, I don't even know, because honestly, I don't take any products with that in it.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It doesn't work.
Well, I remember when the original Jack 3D was out and I used it, right? And I honestly, I didn't think I felt it was that good. Like, to me, maybe I'm really stimulant tolerant, and I was like, I don't notice anything.
Here's the fucked up thing about DMAA. You know, here you have, you know, caffeine is a world renowned great stimulant, right? And it has the added benefits of fatty acid transport and freeing fatty acids for available use for energy. Ephedrine does that even better. You know, DMAA. One of the strongest fucking sympathetic nervous system stimulants I've ever tried in my life. I hated it. And guess what it doesn't do? Fat burning in any way, shape, or form. No fatty acid transport, no direct fatty acid burning. It nothing. Nothing for fatty acid. All it does is stimulate the shit out of your sympathetic nervous system in hope, you know, and that really all that's doing is fucking depleting, you know, your nervous connections and all the nervous it'll just deplete the neurotransmitters. That's what
I'm trying to say.
Neurotransmitters. It'll deplete the shit out of your neurotransmitters, make you feel like shit for a way long time. I don't understand why anyone would like to use that. Like, I don't think it makes you train harder. Maybe it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember the original Jack 3D. I used it, but a couple times. But I honestly didn't feel like, oh my God, I need to have this again. This is the best pre-workout I ever took. You know, I mean, I recall it was a lemon flavor. And, you know, I remember the first time I tried it, I was like, yeah, this is going to be good. And I was driving to the gym and I got there and I was like, when I left, I thought, I'm not sure if the hype I heard was even sort of worth
it. Yeah, just disappointed, huh?
Yeah, I've had some high dose caffeinated products that are probably better. You know, I mean, I'm a caffeine guy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The first time I ever tried DMAA, I probably took too much to begin with.
Well, maybe that's why I always take the recommended dose.
Yeah, I don't know. It was bad though. I couldn't even train. I just left the gym. That's all I could do.
What were you having? Were you sweaty? Were you palpitating?
Both. And I couldn't. I could not stand. It was like a dizzy, and I needed an antihistamine. Yeah,
I didn't. I didn't remember that being that great. But anyway,
yeah,
like I said, we're here for information. I'm not saying using it's a good thing. It's got some bad side effects, and so does caffeine, to be honest. I mean, they all, you know, but in general, I think they're probably acute. And if you're healthy, I don't know if you're going to have a, you know, heart attack and adrenal burnout if you use it.
Yeah,
It's always good to cycle things, though. I mean, you might not want to use it for the next 3 years, and your body's just going to adapt to it, and you're going to need higher and higher doses, just like anything.
Yeah.
So,
man.
Oh, sorry. I just had an intruder.
Oh, okay. All right.
Never mind. She's all right. She's just scared me when she opened the door.
Let's get to the next question on the boards here.
The misses.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy. Hey docs, I have a question about meniscus repair surgery and returning to leg training and squatting. Have you worked with any patients before that had a meniscus repair surgery and were able to get back to training legs, doing heavy squats and leg press? Also, do you know what's the likelihood of developing arthritis after repair? Of course, the answer it will be depends on what right. The meniscus, right, the tear of the surgery is. But any kind of info would be helpful. Feel free to speak in general and even hypothetical terms. Thank you. Yeah, it does. It really does depend. I've had patients that have had meniscal tears because of ACL tears. Usually, if you tear one, a piece of the other goes. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Actually, now that I think about it, I don't know that I've ever had. Bucket handle tear. I did have a bucket handle tear where it was just the meniscus and no ACL at all. Here's the thing, though. All of my patients that I've seen meniscus injuries with and ACL injuries with were with young population. I'm talking high school, young college. I've never had like an older patient with, dealing with that sort of injury, you know, over the age of 40 or whatever, to where arthritis would potentially be a problem. The older that you are, the more likelihood of scarring and arthritides can develop post-surgery. It's just, it depends. Really, it really does depend, you know?
I think his question about getting back to doing heavy squats and leg presses, absolutely. I mean, if it's a pure just meniscus tear and it's been corrected, that's actually one of the better like knee injuries to have. If it's just a meniscal injury, and they went back in, they shaved it and smoothed it down. I mean, I think follow the recommendation of your orthopedic doctor, but I don't see why you can't be back to normal from that probably sooner than later. Listen, in the NFL, what do we see? We see this every year. So mm-hmm. a kid blows his ACL, the terrible triad, right? I mean, medial meniscus, ACL, and medial MCL, right? That's mm-hmm. the terrible triad from the side hit that we see in the NFL. People blow their knees out. You don't think them kids are coming back, you know, once they're clear to fully squat? You know, it might be a year before you should do it. Again, follow the advice of your trainer and an orthopedic surgeon, but definitely can get back to doing that.
Once you might
feel better than ever.
Once initial inflammation is down and out and taken care of, there's no reason why you shouldn't. In fact, you probably should. It'll help spur on more collagen cells to be kind of deposited in the area and support the area, you know?
Yeah. So. And the arthritis thing, I'm with you. It's hard to tell. I mean, but I could, in general, I would say, I mean, the key here really is that, look, we're all going to have some arthritis. If you, whether you had a meniscus injury or not, at some point in our lives, you get to my age, going to be 45, everything's cracking and popping. And I don't go get x-rays because I know why I was doing that. Right. Because I'm getting stiff and, you know, everything's getting ratchety in there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the timetable to develop arthritis after a knee injury, though. But
no,
it's definitely increases your risk, though.
Yeah, the older you are, the more risky it is for sure for arthritides. But like I said, I've never seen it. But that's because my population has always been very, very young. So, but yeah, squatting, leg press. You know, when you destroy your meniscus, it always comes at an angle. So you plant your foot and you shift the weight into the opposite direction. That's what'll tear your meniscus and usually an ACL too. Just like when a running back makes a quick cut. up the field, across the field. That's usually they plant their foot down and they turn their body.
Boom.
You can kill your ACL and as a result, tear a piece of that meniscus out too. But yeah, man, just think how many NFL players have done that and are back on the field, you know, a year later and better than ever, you know? So
yeah, I can't imagine a guy. I don't know off the top of my head, but I can't imagine James Harrison has not had a knee injury in his career. And look, that dude is a friggin' monster.
Yeah, I mean,
from the Steelers, you know, he's squatting. He's a friggin' beast, strong. So yeah, man, I think you're good to go there. Arthritis question's kind of tough. I mean, I think if you live long enough to be old, fuck yeah, you're gonna have arthritis.
Definitely, yeah, you'll definitely have it in the knee.
That's a blessing. If you're 80 and crippled from knee arthritis, you did a good job in life. You know, made it. You know,
yeah. Arthritis is really all just the body trying to balance out the joint. You know, that's all it's doing. It's just forming around the joint areas, trying to protect the area because of overuse or whatever it is, but. You know, people think that it's some sort of like life-threatening disorder, you know? I think people confuse arthritis with like rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, you know? Now there's a huge – right, and that's a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a disease opposed to
– a crippling autoimmune disease versus regular wear and tear.
That can kill you.
Yeah.
You know, it has a lot of other bad things going on and the medicines to treat it are bad too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fuck. Jesus Christ, they're – yeah, that's a tough one, man. That's a hard one. Okay, we've got...
Want to knock out an email question or so?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's jump over to the emails.
We got on the second page of advice of the forum questions.
Yeah, I was gearing up to answer this next one. I was like, it's like a fucking thesis paper. But
that's why I say we take a look at the emails.
Let's hear. Question from the emails at clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. I've always taken my Arimidex or Letrozole with the injections, but I heard Scott say on Blood, Sweat, and Gear that he recommends taking AIs the next day when the testosterone peaks. Do you agree with him, or does it matter?
I mean, listen, he's a smart guy. I'm assuming they're talking about S2H, right? Or Scott. Either one. Yeah. I'm not sure. Both of them, you know, have a good sense of that. So, but for me, honestly, I'm a consistency person.
Right,
I just said that, 5 minutes ago? If you're taking, your AI every other day, and you're taking it, for me, I like medicines to be super consistent. In other words, if you take your medicine every day at 8 a.m., I think you should take it every day at 8 a.m. As long as you're consistent, I don't see – where you're going to run into an issue with it not doing its job.
Yeah, unless Scott is talking about
We don't know the context and all that.
Test propionate only or a test what is that? The test base,
Yeah,
then you want to take it a little bit closer like that, but honestly for like TRT and for just consistency is all that really matters. You just take it on the same day, around the same time, you're going to be covered. You're going to be all right with a longer acting testosterone. It's not going to be a problem.
And I think this goes, I don't know if we've had it on this show or we probably have, but people always talk about when's the best time to take your T3. Or your thyroid medicine.
Yeah, right.
Should I take it at bedtime? Should I take it in the morning? Listen, do what you think you need to do, but take it the same time every day.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, these medicines are going to peak and trough when they're supposed to. But if you're taking it at 4 a.m. and then, the next day at 12 a.m., you just went, almost 30 hours. I can't do the math that fast, but you just went a long time without taking it. So you may be spiking yourself all over the place as opposed to taking it at 11 p.m. every night,
Before
bed or whatever the case may be, So I'm always a consistency person about medicines and supplements and things like that. And I should be better at it myself, but if you're taking your health supplements before you go to bed because you were late, and then the next morning you're getting up and taking them at 6 a.m. I mean, maybe you should just switch when you're taking them. But anyway, yeah, consistency, I think. Am I the foremost expert on that? Of course I'm not. But that's what I go by when I teach people how to take medicines,
Sure.
Yep.
Makes sense to me. I like it. Let's jump back over to the forums real quick, and I'm gonna answer this one. It's a little bit shorter than the one above. We'll get back to that one, I promise. Hey guys, I'm really sensitive to estrogen sides. I have to use a lot of AI to avoid getting gyno. No matter if I'm running a cycle of about 1,500 milligrams of test/EQ combo, or I'm running a TRT dose of 160 milligrams every week, neither Aromacin 25 milligrams or Arimidex at 1 milligram every day is enough to keep my estrogen down. So what do what I do is taking letrozole and splitting the pill in four, then taking a quarter letro every third day. Okay. That way my gland don't get swole and tits don't, his glands don't get swollen and his tits don't get sore. Wow. I can't use Tren or Deca without Caber, or I'll have gyno symptoms really fast. The problem is my sex drive affected negatively. I can't perform, but I don't have the same drive. Oh, he says I can perform, but I don't have the same drive, and I'm not 100% hard when I'm using low dose letro. I usually run the TRT at 80 milligrams times twice a week. Should I try to lower it or maybe shoot once a week instead? All right, this guy, he's all over the place with what he's doing, and it is you really got to get some blood work done. You have to. You know what I mean? Because you won't – first of all, keep your cycle the same, all right? If you're going to use 1,500 milligrams of test EQ combo, that's fine. Keep it the same. Within a couple of weeks, go get some blood work done. He needs to go get blood work done right now, because it looks like he's on TRT right now and he's still getting weird gyno symptoms. Yeah, unless you get blood work done, you're not going to know what estrogen. What it may not even be estrogen is a problem to begin with. You don't know.
You could be having a prolactin issue that you're not checking.
Absolutely. Else. It could be a couple of different things.
That was my thought. Of course, I lost what question you were on.
That's okay. I'm a nutrition nerd number one. Nutrition nerd one on the just below Duckett's question. That we haven't attacked that one yet because it's super long.
Just for lack
of time.
Went back to the forum.
Yeah, gotcha. On the forums, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was when I saw this I thought the same thing. We need to just get some blood work done and see where you're at, and some additional tests, not just the estrogen. Like, first thing I thought of was, well, maybe it could be some other hormone, progesterone or prolactin giving them a problem or something like that. So
yeah, you got to get them tested and then you can figure it out, man. Then you're not shooting in the dark and getting weird sex drive issues and whoever else knows. You got to have some estrogen. You got to be in range with prolactin too. Everything's got to be balanced. Otherwise, you're throwing the grit out. So blood work.
The only other, obviously, got to get blood work. Did he mention what his estrogen was on here? Like his numbers?
No,
all?
He said he hasn't been able to check estrogen while he's on letro.
Okay, yeah, that's the key right there, man. Because then you could sort of see what you're doing when you get your blood work done. I think this one I had a thought about maybe, but I thought he had some numbers down. But if he had some numbers down and it was really just estrogen, and his estrogen, let's say he's just a super sensitive guy, and it really wasn't super high, but it's high, it's getting high enough even on his Aromacin that he's noticing the side effects. If he's just worried about gyno, instead of going back and forth with adding letro, maybe you could just add something to block, at the gland, like some Novadex. But long story short is, I that was my thought.
It's hard. It's weird because he says
other issues it could have been.
I have a hard time believing that it's an estrogen problem. I think the estrogen might be a little bit high, but estrogen works in conjunction with so many other hormones. It's like estrogen itself may not be causing the problems, but an estrogen at the top range along with an elevated prolactin is going to give you all kinds of fucking problems,
Right.
And the fact that he's running a weekly dose of 160 milligrams of test or a combo of 1500 milligrams a week of test and EQ and getting the same symptoms, I can't imagine that it's an aromatase issue.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah, get like prolactin checked. I would get growth hormone levels checked, IGF-1 levels checked, because IGF-1 can actually kickstart a lot of growth in the booby glands.
Uh huh. Yep.
So there's the full panel, full hormonal panel too, you know. Let's tackle one more doc, and then what do you say we just call it quits for this show and be back with the next show here. Hello, Dr. Ogden. Have you prescribed Tenuate to patients who are trying to lose weight? Did I say that right, Doc? Is that Tenuate?
Yes, you did. And I got it.
Right, okay. Yeah. What's your take on it? What are some other safe scripts for anyone trying to control appetite? Thanks. I really appreciate it, guys. What the fuck is up with these guys that are asking questions that are the length of essay papers? God damn. How can someone respect you to read that shit on air? You guys are way too nice. Aw, hey, somebody sympathizes with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough.
So the answer is, short answer is no, I haven't prescribed Tenuate. And essentially, to make a long story short, that's basically your sort of amphetamine-ish type, you know, sympathomimetic that, like all stimulants do, curb appetite sort of thing. Okay, I mean, but I've never prescribed it. In fact, I actually had to look that one up on my little handy-dandy notebook because I was like, So he asked, what other safe scripts for anyone to control appetite? Well, for me, to be honest, the only thing I've ever prescribed, and I didn't like to do it, was phentermine. Yeah.
So is that the same as fen-phen, or
well, it's half of it.
Yeah.
It was the part that wasn't destroying your heart.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So when they took it off the market, they found out that half of the fen-phen was given the valve problems, and the phentermine part was not an issue. Mm-hmm. And again, basically it's probably similar in effect to Tenuate. They're all stimulants and they're all going to control appetite, but he said that's the one that I have prescribed in the past. Usually we start off with a low dose, like 37.5 once a day, and it seems to do a good job. The only problem I've ever had with some of these prescription, and I do know there are some new ones out, but they're right off the top of my head, you know, but I don't have the perfect answer for that. But long story short is the one I've prescribed the most when I was doing family practice and was phentermine. And I never had a problem with it, really. I didn't like doing it just because I felt like most of the people – I think I said this before, but I don't like to get myself in trouble. But let's just say there was a lot of ladies who liked it, and most of them were really big and they weren't really doing much of anything else. They were looking for the quick fix, you know. And, you know, I'd give in and I say, let's try on this, but let's try this diet and let's do this and that. And they come back 8 weeks later and they're still on it and they lost a half a pound, you know, when really they should have lost 30.
Right.
If they were doing everything else.
Right.
So long story short is for me, man, I got to be honest, I haven't prescribed a lot of sort of weight loss medicines because honestly, I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you follow your diet and exercise and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, over-the-counter fat burner is going to do what you need it to do. You know, I don't have a problem. I've always felt like that. And then, you know, people become reliant on these things because they do have amphetamine-like properties, and then they don't want to come off it because they really just want it for the boost, the energy. So anyway, the only one I've ever prescribed really was phentermine. That's my honest opinion, sort of my honest answer.
Interesting. I've never heard of that. I just had to look it up too. So it's interesting that would even be prescribed for weight loss, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously a lot of the – I don't know if they do – you know, I wouldn't do it, but I think it's probably done off-label. In fact, I know it is. There are some people who use, you know, ADHD medicines. They do curb appetite, you know, sort of Adderall, Vyvanse, all those things. That's why when you come in, you start a kid on it, you have to watch their weight real, real close because some kids will stop eating
They'll
just lose weight. Yeah, that's one of the things you have to do, keep an eye on their weight. There's also a medicine that, you know, I think is approved for weight loss. It's actually, it's called Topiramate, Topamax. We used it for migraine prevention sort of. And, I believe it caused some weight loss but I don't believe it works that well, but, and I've never prescribed it, but for me, like I said, the one that I used and I would hesitantly used because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I wasn't overly worried about it. Again, it's like a stimulant, you caffeinate it. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was good. As long as the person didn't have hypertension or heart problems, I would give them a chance with some phentermine. So that's my answer. And then I never had anybody have a problem with it, except I had some people I couldn't get off it. And, you know, they would fight me for it, you know, like they liked the buzz and there's, but they're still 350, you know?
Right. Yeah. Gosh, that sucks. You know, man.
You know how it is. They want the quick fix. You know, they don't want to do no hour cardio.
Of course not.
They want something they can take that does the hour cardio for them.
Yeah, those are the Walmartians we're talking about again, isn't it? It's like the fatties from Walmart. Yep, that's what it is.
Dude, yep. I think you just made up a new term. The Walmartians.
Walmartians? No, I can't take credit for that. I've heard that many times already.
I never heard it before.
No? Well, I'm happy to be the one to hand that information over to you.
Hey, you ever feel like you want to get in one of those little carts and just drive around?
I can't tell you. Every time I see one of those things, I'm like, I got to jump into one of those fucking things and take it for a spin. And I was just like, I'll take my shirt off too, you know, just so people know that, hey, I'm relatively in decent shape, but I'm going to fucking zoom around this place anyways. If this fatty over here gets to do it, you should at least let me give me a try, you know?
Oh, you know what? One thing we didn't talk about was the NFL. My Birds are kicking butt, man.
That's okay. My Lions are doing pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, they're both doing good this year. So far, we're both having good seasons.
Yeah, awesome.
I can't. The Eagles play this week, Cardinals, and if they handle that, which they should, they're in a pretty good spot at 4-1. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The Cardinals have some pretty decent weapons, but we took care of them, too. We beat them.
Yeah. I watched that game. I think, the Cardinals' age is catching up to them. With Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer have been around for a while, and I think it's starting to show a little bit. But, so what do you got going on today? Do you got to train? Is he taking a day off? Or are you just smoking weed?
It's technically – hold on. Let me take a hit real quick. it's vaping. It's feels good. The
so crazy.
Yeah, I'll be doing. I gotta train later, but I just take hits of this shit all day long. This is the most convenient thing ever. Yeah, I don't have to eat it, you know. So
I think our podcast should. This would have been a good video one.
You're right, because I'm wearing. I'm wearing my headband. I've got my vape pen in my hand. I'm like taking a hit every 10 minutes. I'm taking a hit over here. But hey, you know what's funny about because we were just talking about appetite suppressants.
Yeah,
let me tell you about script appetite suppressants, man. These. Heavy indica and heavy CBD rated strains of marijuana, they suppress my appetite, which I thought was going to be a fucking impossibility, but it's not at all. It actually works. I can't believe it, because you always think, oh, marijuana, I'm just going to get the munchies and I'm going to eat everything in sight. I don't ever get the munchies, man. If anything, I've got to time myself to be like, okay, what's time to eat right now? You know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't have expected that. I thought you would turn into Jeff Spicoli at the fucking, you know, with the pinkies on the cash register with the coins falling out of your pocket. All I needed is some tasty waves, a cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Yeah, I like him. He sounds fun. Yeah.
Do you remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Jeff Spicoli?
Of course.
How about this? That's my skull. That was one of my favorite movies of all time. I got some weird favorite movies. My other weird kind of one of my favorites is Airplane.
Oh, I like Airplane. I like any.
I still watch that shit to this day. And crack
any
up.
Any 80s movies, man. I fucking love any 80s movies. It was such a different time. It was like everything was corny as shit, but we loved it all anyways. You know, it was like
I just remember little parts where he's on the plane, he looks next to the nun, he's like, "You want a drink?" And she's like, "No." And she breaks out a mirror with some coke, and she's doing lines. let's take a drink.
Hey, Doc, do you have Netflix on your?
I do.
You do. Okay, good. There, have you seen?
And I pay for it. I actually do pay for it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Now, do you have? do you watch Stranger Things?
Yes, but is the new series out yet?
The new season will be coming out. I just
I cannot wait for that. That's
I
a great
just
series.
Started watching it. We are hooked.
Oh, you're just seeing it now?
Just now.
Season one.
Season one. It's blowing my mind. It's
is that the coolest fucking series. That is a great series. I love it. I can't wait for it to come out.
It's made me so happy. I can't even tell you. Like it harkens back to all the 80s. Everything. Everything is 80s. Even the introduction, all the music is 80s.
Yeah.
It harkens me back to my childhood while dealing with
the
fucking.
I think we power watched that, me and my wife. That's a great series.
That's what me and my wife are doing now too. Except I'm home all day most of the time, and I gotta wait for her ass to get home from work so we can start binging, you know?
Oh, sorry, excuse me. Oh, you know what else? Oh, God, my brain's losing it. What's the other series with Jason Bateman on there? That's pretty great, too.
Ozarks, oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love that shit. Yeah, that's a good one. I've been watching that, too.
Oh, dude, that is such a good show. I can't wait for that season, the next season to come out. I think.
That was a good one.
But yeah, Netflix is awesome. I can't believe, like, I'm actually paying for it. Like, I don't pay for jack shit, you know?
Right.
I'm just wow, I'll pay for this. This is good stuff, man.
You know, Netflix really revolutionized television. I mean, if I didn't have to have my sports, and if anyone has any, you know, inside tips of how I can get local TV without paying tons of, I would do it, because it's the only reason I have cable is for two channels, three maybe.
Yeah.
ESPN. My local Fox Sports, because that's where the NFL Eagles game come on, and NFL Network. If I didn't have to, I would only have my family watches Netflix. They don't watch that except for the Eagles games. That's what we watch. Me and Stevie watch ESPN and NFL Network and the local sports channel. And all the other stuff's really a waste. And, my wife watches Netflix all day long. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah. That's essentially what I do too. We have cable, but it's mostly for my wife, because she watches a bunch of stuff that you can't watch on Netflix and you can't really download. It's like all that fucking, like the housewives shit. You know what I mean? Like the housewives of Orange.
Christine watches that Lifetime movie women bullshit, you know.
Is it on Bravo or is it on Lifetime?
You know, Lifetime movie network. You know, basically every story is about a bad man who a wife wants to fucking kill. It's just like it's a man hater channel.
It's funny. It's Lifetime channel's like the corniest channel I've ever seen in my life. It's like the worst, like D grade actors in terrible plot lines and movies that are just like you could spit out, you could be blindfolded and you'd be like, you could predict what was gonna happen next, you know?
I hate that channel. It's always fucking on too. Yeah. I'm like,
it's torture.
Maybe I need to be on more podcasts so I don't have to watch the shit.
Yeah, the only reason why we have a cable is just for my wife to be able to watch some of that stuff. Because the only thing I watch on cable is HBO, and that's for Game of Thrones, fucking 7 weeks out of the year. You know?
Yeah. See, I don't have HBO, so I haven't seen any of those shows.
Yeah. Oh man, wait till you start with Game of Thrones from episode one. You guys will be binging next. I guarantee
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that damn, that is a good series. The one,
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Yeah. It's awesome.
I love it, chomping at the bit. My wife just left for work like an hour ago. I'm already watching the clock. I'm like, I want to play that. I want to play the next episode. We're like halfway through. So fucked up. But yeah, Doc, I've got to train today. I've got to hit some back in my in the B&R basement gym. I can't leave the house because I got to watch this motherfucker with his tail. Make sure he's not eating it.
You'll come home and it'll be like a murder scene.
Literally a murder scene. You should have seen our kitchen that night that it's exploded. It got on the ceiling. It got all over the cabinets, all over our dishes. I was just like, everywhere he'd wag his tail, it would spray like an artery was open or something.
I had a similar experience before I had to put down my dog, Alex.
Aww.
He was our set. He was the best dog we ever had until we got Rascal. I will consider them a tie. 1A and 1A. 1A1 and 1A2. And ironically, they're the both boys who are chubby. So if you ever get a boxer, make sure it's a male and make sure he's fat.
Yeah, that's the best.
You will find you will have the best dog you could ever imagine. And that's a fact. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
So, but what he was, we're digressing, but what he had was these things over years called mast cell tumors, MAST, you know, like mast cells that give off histamine in our body. So he would have a lot of allergic reactions, and we would have to give him Benadryl sometimes because he would get these tumors. And we'd give him prednisone. That was the chemotherapy for it. And we would get them cut off.
Yikes. And jeez.
Constantly, $1,000, you know, five at a time. We were just doing this for a couple years. Long story short is he developed this one on his right ankle. And we were keeping an eye on it because we're like, yeah, it's not big enough to cut off yet. And I don't know what happened. I feel terrible about it. But long story short is one morning we woke up and there was just blood everywhere. We're like, what the fuck? I looked at his ankle and this thing exploded. Oh, like within, it must have been within a week. Maybe I didn't look at it for a week till like quadruple its size.
Jeez.
Yeah. So long story short is, I hate to say it, but I was in medical school. We already were, had taken off like 10 of these things. We were spending thousands of dollars. We didn't have thousands of dollars. We're using credit cards for this shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's hard.
And they're talking about, this thing was down to the bone.
Oh my gosh.
Metatarsal resection.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, we'll stop. It was the worst day of my life. You had that experience about the worst days of your life. The
worst fucking.
I've done that twice.
Awful. Just the worst, man. You never recover, man. It fucks you up forever.
You know, I feel so bad. I feel horrible. Let's put it this way. He was old. He wasn't young. He was like 13. So.
Yeah.
And he had arthritis and everything. But the fact is like just now, like now in my life, looking back on it, I probably could have keep paying forever to get him fixed because I have the funds. I mean, I wouldn't want to. I don't like spending money like that. But it's kind of sad because it was my situation. He was a good boy. He was old. He was 13. He had arthritis. But, you know, everything else was pretty good. That sucks. I hate it. That's one of the worst days. But it was so bad. They were talking about resecting bone.
It would have been the recovery alone would have been super traumatizing for him.
We're like, he could barely walk as it is because he was chubby and had arthritis, you know.
Poor guy.
But, you know, it's a shame that sometimes you have to make those decisions in life.
That
like,
shit's heartbreaking, man. Boy,
but you know what? I think God – I'm not a big religious. I think we got Rascal to fill his void. Like, we got him. I'm not religious, so I won't say that. But I think – Rascal's like a reincarnated version of him and shit.
It's funny to think that could happen. We as like loving owners and fathers and mothers or whatever, we always wish that would happen with our kids. These dogs are our kids, you know? So it's like we always wish that their reincarnation is like a real thing, you know? Yeah, man.
So, just got to go train today, and we got football practice. You know, same old shit. Can't wait this Friday. My daughter's high school has another big game. Dude, they're 4-1 now. That team is ridiculously good, man. They're my daughter's high school team. It's off the chart, dude.
Yeah.
They're like crazy. But this Friday we have a game we have every year. It's called Beat the Beast. So it's a breast cancer game.
All right, cool.
The cancer game. Everybody wears pink, you know, and they sell T-shirts.
Right on. Cool.
So it should be fun. I can't wait for that.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I was actually supposed to head out of town this weekend with my wife, and we're supposed to, you know, head over to Iowa, and I'm not going to be able to go because I got to watch this fucking dog and make sure that he heals up properly, you know?
Are the other dogs trying to fuck it because it's, you know, because it's smelly and
it
bloody?
It stinks, yeah. They try to lick it, you know, if they think they're doing him a service, you know? Yeah. Yeah, so I gotta fend that shit off too. So I got my hands full over here, Doc. So I guess.
The pack is a handful.
The pack is a handful, definitely. Especially when shit like this happens, crazy.
Hell yeah!
All right, Doc, I gotta get moving. I gotta get some breakfast in me, and then maybe vape a little more, and then go train for sure. Okay. And
don't drop a weight on you because you vape too much or anything like that.
Nah. It's funny, man. I get ultra focused. It's so funny. I don't know why.
Yeah, I've actually, I hate talking about this. I've actually had, not me personally, but I mean, look, I'm human. I've had some friends that were fucking potheads in my life. Yeah. And one of them really liked to do that before he trained. He said it put him in a zone, and I just couldn't get it. I'm like, how? Like, why? How do you not fall asleep? But anyway, he's 4-by.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we say medications react differently to everybody, just like anabolics would, you know. And marijuana is no different, man. It's so different for everyone's so different, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everyone's reaction to it, it's crazy. All right, Doc, I got to get moving. You got to get moving.
All right, yep.
This has been Clinical Muscle, and the doctors are out.
All right, see you guys.